Hi, everyone. My name is Derek. I'm one of the pastors here. I want to welcome you back to church, especially if you're returning from Christmas at the Warner. We're so excited that you've joined us for this day of celebration to God and for a whole new year that lies ahead of us. If you're at one of our locations in Girard or Harbor Creek or in our common service in McCain, thank you for joining us at church today. I trust that you're experiencing the presence of God in our gathering. And if you're watching online, we're also thrilled that you're with us from wherever in the world that you may be right now. And I just pray that God would speak to you through His Word. We're going to be in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29 this morning. So if you have a Bible or a YouVersion app on your device, you can start finding your way to Jeremiah. And if you don't, the text will be on the screen when we get there. But first, I want to show you a picture of a lion. This is a lion, and the nickname of the lion is the King of the Jungle. Now, it's weird that the lion ever rose to this status. The lion, you know, isn't the biggest animal in the jungle. It's not the fastest, not the smartest, not the tallest, not the most beautiful, not the strongest. It's none of those things. And so why is it that when a lion rolls up on the scene, all the other animals scatter? Well, it's because the lion sees itself as a predator. And everyone else does too. So an elephant, for example, an elephant is bigger, it's stronger, it's smarter, it's more powerful than a lion. But when he sees the lion, one word comes to the elephant's mind: predator. This dude can eat me. And he runs away. And so over the years, many people, many leaders have tried to become influencers by imitating the lion. In fact, there was a best-selling leadership book a couple of decades ago called The 48 Laws of Power, and it was billed as the essential guide to modern manipulation. It includes chapter titles like Gain Attention at All Costs, or Pose as a Friend, Work as a Spy, or Do Not Commit to Anyone, or Crush Your Enemy Totally. This was the playbook for how to have an influence in our world. And this mindset is partly why our world is in a leadership crisis today. We see predatory leadership on TV or your newsfeed or on Twitter every single day. And generations of this chest-pounding bravado, this king of the jungle predatory approach to leadership that says, I have to destroy you in the process of getting what I want, it's left us all thirsting for something different. There must be a better way. And I think there is one. Jesus Christ was the most influential person in the history of the world. We still measure all of history by before him and after him. And Jesus showed us a radically different approach to influence. And so this month, we're going to explore what Christ-like influence looks like in a series called Upside Down Influence. And even if you think, I'm not an influencer, I'm not a leader, I can't influence anyone, I don't have the skills, I have too much baggage, this one is for you, because we're coming at this with the assumption that every Christian has influence. And so I want you to get this today. This is my big idea. It's that you can make a difference because you can serve. You see, Jesus said that true influence is attached to servanthood. And so we're going to explore what it looks like to be a difference maker in your circle of influence in 2020. And we're going to look at three different spheres this month. We're going to look at our city and our world and our church. And so today we're going to turn our attention to our city. And to do that, we'll be in the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. Now, the book of Jeremiah was written to the people of Israel during a very difficult time in their history. The nation of Babylon had conquered Israel and all its people. And so Babylon was on this kind of furious march to conquer the world. And so they would come through a country and they would sack the whole nation. They would carry all the survivors into exile back to Babylon, away from their hometown. And so God spoke to the Israelites through the prophet Jeremiah, and he reminded them that even though they might not be happy about their new arrangement in Babylon, that their role was to be the people of blessing to their immediate environment, their city. Do you know that's your role too? Christians are the people of the blessing. And specifically, God wanted them to bless the city of Babylon, which, if you know your history, it was a really big deal. Babylon was a hostile enemy city that they were brought to. But the command to bless the city in which we live is not just a command to the Israelites, it's a command to us as well. We are also the people of the exile. We are sojourners here in this world, just passing through. This is not our final destination. But while we're here, we are the people of the blessing. And so we must figure out how to serve the city to which God has brought us. I want to read you the words that God said to these exiles about their city, and then I want us to glean some lessons from it. It's in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, starting in verse 1. It says, These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles, and to the priests and to the prophets and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now look down at verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce. Look at verse 7. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise, and I will bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I think we can learn here three ways to influence the flourishing of our city. You see, part of our vision at Grace, because our sights surround the city of Erie, is to serve the city of Erie. I also recognize that there are smaller communities spread around that we should engage in as well, Arbor Creek and Girard and Waterford. But for our purposes today, think of Erie. So when it comes to our city, here's how I think we can influence. It's to lean in and don't withdraw. Go back to verse 4. If you're taking notes today, you can underline this phrase where he says, build houses, plant gardens, take wives, and you can just write, lean in the margin. What's he saying? He's saying, make this city your home. Don't relate to it as a tourist, but settle down here. Don't just take from it, but give back to it. Remember, this is written to exiles in the heart of the evil empire, Babylon. Not only did the Israelites not want to lean into that city, they thought it was sinful to lean into that city. But God comes in and he says, I want you to live there and not just to consume. Become part of the economic fabric, the social fabric. Throw your hat in the ring. But it becomes easy to withdraw, doesn't it? The suburban and rural sprawl is a real thing. People have retreated from the city and spread out around it. And listen, that's okay at some level, but we need to be clear that that doesn't mean that we can ignore the needs of the urban core of our area, because as the city goes, so goes our whole region. We need the city to thrive. And I remember back when we were first thinking about Servier in 2007, one of the problems that we identified is what we called the proximity problem. That there were a lot of great Christian people and a lot of good churches around our area suffering from a proximity problem. That is, that they could wake up in the morning and go to bed at night, day after day, week after week, month after month, and never come face to face with any of our city's great needs. Like they may never come face to face with the needs of the 10% of our population who are refugees to our city, or the needs of the homeless, or the needs of the some 26% of our urban population who's living in poverty, or the needs of our children who are at an educational disadvantage, or the racial inequities of our city. Many urban or rural Christians never come face to face with those issues on a daily basis. And so we set out to address the proximity problem, to begin to eliminate barriers and to try to get Christians face to face with the needs, because we knew that some magic would happen there as the Holy Spirit could do his work when they realized the needs. And so we lean in. And let me remind you in no uncertain terms, God has located you in Erie on purpose. For those of you watching online, fill in your city of choice here. He has located you there on purpose. You need to highlight this somehow in your Bible, but look back in verse 1. Do you see where it says Nebuchadnezzar had taken you into exile? It says that in verse 1, but in both verses 4 and 7, God says, I sent you into exile. In other words, he says, you may think that you're there for a different reason. You may think that you're where you live for 10 other reasons why you live in Erie, PA. Maybe you think you came for a job or for a relationship or because of forces beyond your control. Maybe you were born here and never left. But the main reason, that's not the main reason. The main reason you live here is because God has a purpose in you being here. He has a purpose for you. He has a purpose to bless the city through you. And so the reason you're here is not because Nebuchadnezzar brought you here, it's because God brought you here. And so we must never take that lightly. So what will you do about it? That's the question. And the first thing we need to do is lean in and don't withdraw. Here's the second way to influence our city. It's to stand up for what's right and don't compromise. So in verse 4, he says, make this your home. But then in verse 10, he says eventually, I will take you to your true home. And so part of the deal here is remembering that where we live is not our ultimate home. We're citizens first of heaven. And so we must first obey heaven's values. You can underline the phrase in verse 8 that says, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you. And just write, stand up for what's right in the margin. You see, when the values of the society contradict God's values, it'd be easiest for us just to blend in, just to adopt all of those values of society. Don't make a big deal. God says, no. I want you to stand up for what's right. Yes, be part of the social fabric. Really engage it. But remember, it's not your home. The values of the kingdom of God are different than the values of the world. So, for example, one of the great values in our society is that everything is all about the individual self. It's my right, it's my truth, it's my preference, it's me. But the kingdom of God comes in and says, no. Our values are actually based on sacrifice and justice. It's all about the other. That's a kingdom upside down idea. Or take sex. Sex in the world is all about what I get out of it. It's about my pleasure. But in God's economy, sex is about self-giving. He says, don't start messing around with sex until you're willing to give yourself away in covenant. It's about the other. Or take money. Money in the world says, maybe I'll give a little away to charity, especially those charities that make me feel good. But ultimately, it's all mine. I decide. In the kingdom, none of it's mine. It's all his. And so I'm going to figure out how to give it away first and then see what's left to be used for myself. Do you see the difference? These two sets of values are radically different. The kingdom's values are upside down. And so he says, make this city your home, but remember it's not your ultimate home. Live by kingdom values. And so God says, lean into the city where I have you. Become part of the fabric of the city. Settle down. Make it your home. But when your values clash, make sure you don't compromise. Continue to stand up for what's right. Here's the third way to influence the city's flourishing. It's to sacrificially serve and don't be selfish. The listeners of this text must have been shocked when God's words reached verse 7. He said, seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you. You should underline that phrase. It's a loaded phrase. It means seek the peace and prosperity of the city. That's what the word welfare means. It's actually an old, familiar, and very Hebrew word. It's the word shalom. Shalom means full thriving and flourishing. It's the simple definition of that word is peace. And so when my wife Kim and I visited Jerusalem, it was the word that was used in the streets for greetings and farewells, hellos and goodbyes. Shalom, shalom. It's the simplest translation. It just means peace. But shalom goes even deeper than just an absence of conflict, like, peace. It means wholeness. It means completeness. It's a universal flourishing where all our needs are satisfied and all our purposes are deployed under the loving arc of God's care. And so the reason that this command was so shocking when he said, seek the shalom of the city, is that this original audience, that the city he's talking about is Babylon. This is the enemy. And God says, instead of always complaining about the city, instead of always resisting, instead of always taking to social media to whine about everything that's wrong about your city, work for its shalom. And one of the key ways that we do this is to sacrificially serve our city. Just write that in the margin. Don't just get by. Make sure that the city prospers. And here's the crazy promise. He says, if it prospers, so will you. That in the flourishing of the city, you too will flourish. And so as we lean in, and as we stand for what's right, and as we sacrificially give our time, we will have influence, and the city will begin to flourish, begin to experience the shalom of God. Do you see how this is so upside down? How different this is from the king of the jungle approach to influence. And generations later, Jesus came onto the scene, and he showed us what this looks like. How true greatness is achieved through servanthood. How the first will be last. How true influencers don't come to be served, but to serve and to give their lives away to others. Jesus showed us how to do that in our own environments, in our own cities. And you can make a difference because you, too, can serve. Well, each week during this series, we're going to have a portion of this sermon time to be an interview with someone who's an example of this upside-down influence. And I'm honored today to be sitting down with Pastor Marcus to talk about what it looks like to have a greater influence in our city. He's the pastor of engagement, community engagement here at Grace Church. He's also the executive director at Serve Erie. And so I hope you'll be both inspired and motivated by our conversation. We're going to give you some more details about why in the world a bunch of people brought diapers today and what that has to do with poverty, too. Here's this interview. I'm here with Pastor Marcus, and listen, you're on the front lines of serving this city. Can you just talk about what has motivated you to lean in?
There's an old saying that says, there but by the grace of God go I.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love the fact that you preached on us connecting with our story and telling other people our story, because every single day I'm living my story, be it my personal journey, my faith journey, it's always at the forefront. And so, you know, when I talk about being the second son to a 19-year-old single mom with a father not around, that story is always at the forefront of my mind. That 9-year-old makes decisions with me every day. When I think about my faith journey from religion to relationship with Christ, that faith journey is in front of my face every day. And so when you think about how Christ delivered you, how he delivers you on a day-to-day basis, and what he's delivered you from, for me, that's the fuel that just makes me want to give back, that makes me want to connect with other people suffering and say, how can I give of myself to make this thing more convenient, better, to give a voice where there is no voice? So my motivation is that, man, I'm always connected to what Jesus has done for me. It's one thing to say, oh, I'm so blessed. Okay, well, go out to the open world and show that. I feel like I'm blessed in so many ways. I got to give it back.
Yeah. So do you run across people in the city, kids, whatever, that kind of mirror your
story? It's me, right? I see certain people in certain situations, and it's as if it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember what it felt like to be, you know, in that broken down apartment. I remember what it felt like to not have resources. I also remember what it felt like when people started systematically coming into my life, giving of themselves to my mom before she got married, to my dad, to my brother and I, the people at the neighborhood center, those people that came along and said, hey, I want to volunteer my time, talent, and treasure to make your life better, had a lasting impact on me. And I know that Jesus used many of those people. And so, yes, I see myself in so many scenarios. You know, not forgetting what's been done for you is key in my journey.
Yeah, and that's powerful, I think, to hear you say that to those of us, especially who maybe didn't have that background, you know, who weren't raised in that environment, but to hear how the service of others helped to kind of raise you up out of that is a real powerful motivator for people like me.
Absolutely, and if I could add to that, so everyone's story doesn't look like mine, but as you pointed out in your sermon, everyone has a story.
Yeah.
So is it the way that Jesus delivered you from addiction? Is it alcoholism? Is it gambling? Is it broken homes, broken families, low self-esteem? Yeah. In some way, shape, or form, we've been delivered, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so to stay connected to that, not to wallow in it because you lay it at the foot of the cross, but for me, there's still an inventory of, I've laid it at the foot of the cross, but I know exactly what I put down there that Christ has picked up for me. So I think it's important for us to stay connected to, how is it that Christ transformed your life? Because he wants to use that. He doesn't want you to run from it.
That's great. That's great. So switch gears a little bit.
Sure.
Talk about Serve Erie. So you're the executive director of Serve Erie.
I am.
One of the things I love about what Serve Erie has done recently is we've kind of moved into a section of the city that was kind of forgotten.
Yeah.
And one of the things I talk about in this message today is just leaning in instead of withdrawing, leaning in. And so I see Serve Erie kind of have leaned in to this one kind of outline of the city, you know, a neighborhood. Can you talk about that? Talk about why we did that? Talk about that part of the city and how it was kind of forgotten and what are some of the things that are happening there?
You know, it was fascinating, man. When you go, I would go to meetings and listen to people talk about the donut hole.
Yeah.
And it was always this one swath of land on the Lower East Side.
Yeah.
And it was almost like table conversation, almost like you and I talking about, you know, the Browns acquiring Odell Beckham. It was just point of conversation. And at some point, you're like, yeah, these are people's lives. People live there. They suffer there. But it was just conversation. So it's sure.
Explain the donut hole.
Oh, the donut hole is there's so much development going on in downtown Erie that this area was left absent of all of the downtown investment. And so it's almost like a donut. All the sweet stuff was on the outside. Middle was empty. There was no investment going on in that area. And so thus the term the donut hole was born. And I get the necessity of the term. But it's almost as if we became too comfortable with the thought and the knowledge that this area was underserved. Made me think about Jesus, and I don't think it's any coincidence that when he came down in the flesh, the marginalized caught his attention. Like, this person is ostracized and everyone seems okay with it. Let me go over and see what's up with this person or this situation, because you all know what the deal is, but no one seems to be going after it. And we felt like that about this area of town, and we prayed about it, and now we're there.
So what are some of the things that you see going on in that section of town since Servieri has been there?
Since Servieri has been there, you know, we talk often about hope. One of the things that I brought up at a meeting the other day is that line from Shawshank Redemption by Red, hope is a dangerous thing. Why? Because if and when I do, I set myself up to be let down. You can see hope starting to bubble back up. And I know that sounds cliche and passe and everything, but it's the truth. You also see added development. Not even so much development yet, but you see added investment. And we've partnered with City Hall on the Count Me In's, well, UPMC with the Count Me In survey, City Hall with the Summer of Hope survey. We renovated a school in that area. We partnered with Michael Making Lives Better and Convoy of Hope and Our Church Matters. And now you have various agencies to the point where we just made an announcement this past week with UPMC and City Hall and ECAT. All of these agencies are now investing in this area. City Hall's gotten a grant for almost $1 million for extended policing in this area. And I think it's God's timing because Servieri was the catalyst, but it was something we prayed about that God laid on our heart, and here it is. We couldn't have planned it like this if we tried. So God's timing is perfect if you are in position to be the conduit of his blessings on whatever he's charging for you to do.
Great. So speaking of that section of the city, one of the things that we've been talking about is this big give, okay? And we teased it out a little bit at Christmas at the Warner. We're going to kind of make an announcement right now what this is all about. We've had people bringing some diapers to our services today. And so I really feel like that section of town, the hole in the donut where Servieri has kind of moved into the neighborhood, is going to be blessed by this. So the issue of diapers, people don't always connect the dots here as to what how important those things are. But can you just talk, and I may talk a little bit too, about what is the deal with diapers? What difference does that make?
Well, you know, the thing that's interesting is we actually had the downtown YMCA approached us about doing a diaper give when we first got there, and the logistics didn't work out and along those lines. And one of the reasons they asked is because, you know, diaper, it's that residual expense that just dogs a person in poverty. It isn't covered by any kind of government assistance. When you drop a child off of child care, you have to bring diapers as well. Diapers already are not cheap. Children, as you know, and if you've had children, they run through them rather quickly. And so it's an expense that just keeps coming up time and time and time again, and it starts eating into an income that is already extremely limited. And so literally you will have women panhandle on the streets with their child with them for diaper money, like alcoholics panhandle for a bottle of liquor. And it's heartbreaking, but it's something that exists that many people, if you aren't in that position, doesn't cross your mind. But it's the expense that is always looming over a person's head who lives in poverty.
So one of the things that really got me was, you know, you mentioned that you often need diapers to get your child into daycare or whatever, or child care. And if you don't have the money to do that, to kind of get out ahead of that, there's parents who are making the decision of going, well, I can't send my kid to daycare because I don't have the diapers, which means when they're not cared for, I can't go out and get a job. And the cycle continues because of this crazy little gap in the system of diapers.
And let me add to that, not only can I not go out and get a job if I'm in that situation, I can't keep the one that I have, because the majority of these women we're talking about, they're employed. They may be underemployed, they may not be gainfully employed, but they're employed. The working poor in this area that we serve is that the area is littered with the working poor. And this again just eats away at that meager income that most of them make as is.
So here's what we're doing with this big give. We're collecting up some diapers today, more just as kind of a little preview, planting the seed in our congregation's mind about this thing. In the spring or summer, as we get a little closer, we're going to be doing a much bigger give to this area. We're looking for a partner who sells diapers to maybe go to match our funds. But we're taking a portion of our Transform funds, a big chunk, and putting it toward diapers, hopefully getting it matched. And Servier is going to be kind of a distributor of these diapers to people in that area of town who are underserved. And we're so excited about it because I think it's going to make a difference.
Absolutely, it will.
On the real ground floor of people's lives. So that's cool. All right. To just wrap this up, we've been encouraging people with this upside down influence series that serving is powerful.
Absolutely.
So can you just talk about what are some simple key steps that the people of Grace could take to serve our city?
Let's go back to the basics. It's one of the things I love about the ministry here is we hear a lot of basics on stage that we can really utilize in our faith journeys. Prayer. So let's just say you go for a Servery Saturday. And I'm often asking people, are you praying before you show up at the Servery Saturday? Are you asking God, show me whatever it is that you want for me to see as I go out and serve? And it's that doing it time and time again, right? And so, A, take advantage of the opportunities that are in front of you and just offer yourself. And prayerfully, stay in touch with God during this journey and can repeatedly ask. He says, keep knocking. And, those who seek the kingdom find the kingdom. So for those that continually ask him, and I know that sounds basic, but I think that people will serve. They'll serve a time or two. They'll stop serving. They're looking for another opportunity. We aren't talking about community service. We're talking about being a servant, a Christ-like servant.
That's right.
And being on the mark, having yourself open to serving, showing up somewhere, and then giving God an opportunity to meet you where you are. And oftentimes, that takes a repetitive nature. Which is faith.
Yeah.
I'm going to go time and time again. And somewhere in that, you find what it is that God has for you, that person, that calling, that something. We can point you in the right direction, but you have to give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to move. You can't move if you aren't on the field.
Yeah, that's right.
You got to get out there. So a lot of opportunities with Servier repeatedly, be it the Saturdays, our summer projects. You can just connect with our office and come and just be a part of the team and let it get into your system. But everyone who kind of takes off on their faith journey through service, the one common denominator is they just repeatedly come back and say, God, what do you have for me? God, here I am, send me. I want to serve. I want to serve. And he meets you where you are.
That's great. So from somebody kind of on the outside looking in, you can also follow Servery at the Facebook page.
Absolutely.
Kind of stay up to date of what's going on there. There's one E in the middle, Servery.
That's right.
And so I'd encourage you to search for that on the Facebook page. But, brother, I thank you so
much.
I love you, man.
All right.
And God bless all that you're doing.